Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Welcome to the show, folks. We have late breaking news overnight, but let's touch upon the NBA. I mean, the finals was as boring as expected, given the fact that the Celtics got off to a hot start and never slowed down, so they steamrolled the Mavs. But we had a very, very, very slow start to the NBA offseason. I mean, the predominant storyline, truth be told, was the fact that should Bronny James be in the league? This is such a non-story. Whether you hate it, you don't hate it, it's a non-story. Bronny James is not going to be contributing much in the NBA on a given level. The Lakers threw LeBron a bone to entice LeBron to stay. LeBron explored his options of where he could actually play things out and run everything else in his life without major disruption, and the best spot to play with his son was the Lakers, and he got the coach they wanted in J.J. Redick. I mean, you know, people could say it's nepotism and abuse of power that LeBron forced out Darvin Ham. Well, I mean, things happen in any walk of life in business. These things will happen. Connections matter. Leverage matters. The Lakers really didn't have that much if they don't go to what LeBron wants to do. What's the plan B? Build around Anthony Davis? We've seen the New Orleans try that multiple times and failed each time. Anthony Davis has not shown to be the leader that we thought he was. It is what it is. So, again, everyone being upset about Bronny getting drafted in the first place. It was a second round pick. It wasn't the first round bets that people had. Can you believe people still had Bronny James still as a first round pick, even on sports books? I mean, there were a lot of outright bets that Bronny was going to go in the first round. I mean, LeBron's arrogant, but he's not that arrogant to expose his son in that fashion, where everyone under the sun gunning for his son because he was a first-round pick. He was a late second-round pick, which is usually the throwaway picks. And yes, you can get gems in the draft, but as seen by the drafting process of NBA teams this year, they saw Victor Wembanyama and just said, I'm going to draft a tall French dude, no matter what. Because that's literally the thought process that went into the NBA draft this year. Let's get some tall French guys and hope that they pan out, whether it's an immediate impact or in 3 years' time, and I will buy some more time in my job where I'm underperforming because we're near the top of the draft. That's literally what it came down to. So, for everyone, I mean, clutching their pearls about Bronny getting drafted by the Lakers, it's a non-story. You know, the only reason why I'm talking about it is because everyone wants an opinion on it. So there's my opinion. It's a non-story. The amount of airtime dedicated to Bronny James is absurd. He's not going to contribute to the Lakers. Yes, it's a waste of a roster spot. But guess what? Donatas is still on the NBA roster for Giannis. You do things to accommodate superstar players. And so this is the expense the Lakers decided to incur. If the Ball family had pull, we would have gotten LiAngelo Ball in the NBA. It just didn't work out that way. Maybe Lonzo comes back healthy. LaMelo's on the mend. But, you know, it's not unheard of. Actually, Thanasis got both of his brothers into the NBA. It's just that only Thanasis was good enough to, well, not good enough, but like plausible enough to hang on. Plausible enough to hang on for a roster spot. Even if he is one of the top five worst players in the NBA. So, it is what it is. But, let's talk about the actual meaningful, impactful news. And I'm not talking about Paul George signing overnight in the middle of the night to the Sixers. I'm talking about the Knicks trading for Mikal Bridges. And yes, everyone's going to say five first-round picks and a pick swap in the first round with the Nets was too much. Realistically, the whole aspect of the Mikal Bridges trade is the fact that his salary is not that much. So between Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges, they're going to be making $48 million combined this upcoming NBA season. The Sixers, who just signed Paul George in his 35th year of age, Paul George is going to be making over $54 million this upcoming NBA season. I know that people like splashy signings, but a guy with two bad knees and a bad back at age 35 that you want to be guarding intensely for playoff basketball, yeah, I'll take my chance with the Knicks. Because at least you know what the Knicks are going to do. They're going to throw bodies at you. They're going to defend the wing. They're going to be a pain in the ass to get rid of. You have to hope for the Knicks to get injured. And the Knicks just added to their depth position. Because, again, like them or hate them, Julius Randle is still on the Knicks roster. The Knicks could still move him to bring in yet another superstar piece with the remaining picks that they still have left. But Tibbs loves Randle. And technically, Randle still allows them to stretch the floor. So, while I do not love how much Randle shoots the three ball, one would think that with the current Knicks roster, Randle's going to be taking a whole lot less shots than he has been historically. Realistically, the team needs him to take less shots. Because the ball's going to have to move around with all the guys on the court that they're going to be using for defending and getting involved in the game. Like, the Knicks are going to be versatile enough to match up with Boston. The Knicks were already versatile enough last year to match up with Boston. They were the only team that legitimately made Boston annoyed playing in the NBA regular season. Of course, the Knicks got hurt in the playoffs, which is always a worry sign with Tom Thibodeau coach teams. It is what it is. He's going to coach the way he's going to coach. But realistically, what Mikal Bridges brings to the table, familiarity with the team already. He's already played with Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo. They're all tight. They're all still friends from college. He's going to play good perimeter defense. He's already played in the NBA Finals with Phoenix. He's got playoff experience. He's in the prime of his career. Well, not even the prime. He's approaching the prime of his career. It's like he's barely playing the NBA, even though it seems like he's been there forever. It's because he doesn't miss games in his NBA career thus far. Somehow played 83 games in an 82-game season when he got traded from the Suns to the Nets. You know, it's one of those things where, yes, could the Nets hit on two draft picks? Because that's what it essentially comes down to. Can the Nets in the next 4 years hit on at least two of the draft picks that the Knicks gave them? The Knicks are going to be in the playoffs, barring a complete and utter disaster. So you basically need to hope that multiple playoff teams, because that's where the Knicks essentially acquired these picks from. They acquired them from other playoff teams. You have to hope one of these teams crashes out of the playoffs, because more than likely, all the Nets first-round picks that they've acquired, the highest-seeded one is going to be their own. Everything else is going to be in the mid-teens and everything else. Like, the Nets are going to have to hope somebody falls flat on their face over the next 3 years to be a worthwhile top-10 pick. Because all these other picks that they've got lined up are teams that are expected to be in the playoffs for quite some time. So, again, the number of first-round picks doesn't look great. It's not the scenario that they were playing for. But in terms of the grand scheme of things, the Nets needed to blow it up and try again. Even though they have failed so many times, they weren't going to be able to build a team around Mikal Bridges fast enough before you're really going to have to pay him. So the Knicks have a 2-year window with everybody in-house, essentially. We'll see if they hang on to Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson. But they have a real chance to make sizable improvements to the roster, yet still, with Randall. There's still moves that can be made by the Knicks. Or they can stand pat. And they will still be top three in the East pretty easily. And a matchup nightmare for any NBA playoff team when the Knicks are healthy. So, of course, you make the Mikal Bridges trade. Realistically, you're not worried about the draft picks. You're worrying about the fit. Who can you bring in to be the Drew Holiday of the season? Because you saw, and I brought this up last year, and everyone kind of poo-pooed it when I said the Bucks made a trade that somehow made the Boston Celtics better. Because everyone kept talking about Damian Lillard and Giannis together, and my big overall argument was Drew Holiday improving the point guard position for the Celtics is a bigger net gain for the Celtics than Damian Lillard going to the Bucks. Like, we talked about this last year, that if the Bucks had to do it all over again, knowing full well that Drew Holiday could end up on the Celtics, I don't think they make the Damian Lillard trade. I have to believe they don't make that trade if they honestly thought through the scenario of where Drew Holiday could end up. Because I, as an outside observer, I thought that was an obvious move that Drew Holiday ends up on the Celtics. But, you know, it wasn't a lock. But I honestly think the Bucks were hoping Drew Holiday didn't end up on the Celtics and that he ended up on the Lakers. And they just miscalculated. So, to me, when you're trying to go for a championship, you're trying to find the fit to make your game elevate a little bit further. The Knicks issue is because of how physical they play, you need more bodies on that roster that are flexible enough to do all those items. And Anunoby got hurt. All right. So you bring in Mikal Bridges, who I think is a better player than Anunoby anyway. You have Anunoby in house now. You have Hardis to backup. You have DiVincenzo as a backup. You have guys who can start or be willing to come off the bench because they already know that the guys that they're sitting for are their buddies. They're going to look out for each other. So, again, from a chemistry standpoint, the Knicks are in an excellent spot. From an actual play standpoint, the Knicks are in an excellent spot. Knicks fans should be ecstatic. Anyone who tries to argue that the Knicks are somehow overspending clearly is not necessarily that really invested in terms of overall basketball philosophy. Because for what the Knicks want to do, and for what Bridges brings to the table, he's a perfect fit for them. The first round picks, yes, would have been nice, but realistically, the guys you're trying to draft in, you'd have to, again, you're trying to use a Ouija board of finding a dude that fits in when you already got a dude that already knows the system and already knows the guys on the team very well. There's not an integration process you have to worry about. It's plug and play. So, it's really that simple. So, Knicks fans should be ecstatic. Philly fans, I don't know. The Sixers fans are going to get excited about Paul George. But it's going to be another year of Embiid trying to keep him healthy. Now you're going to deal with the Paul George experiment of when he wants to play, how many load management days you're going to have to manage on top of Embiid. They're going to be rotating themselves in and out of the lineup. Maxey's going to have to carry the load for large portions of the season again. Yes, you got rid of Tobias Harris's contract. I mean, it is what it is. He didn't work out. But from a Sixers perspective, it's going to be another regular season where your lineup night to night is going to vary. I don't want to hear from the Sixers fans in the middle of the year complaining about Paul George. You know who he was. So if your whole horizon focus is the fact that you're going to get into the playoffs healthy and you're going to figure it out with those two on the court together, because I promise you, in terms of games played together, if Paul George and Embiid play 35 games together this NBA season, that is a bonus for Philly. I'm telling you right now, they are going to load manage the crap out of this team, knowing the conditions of both guys' knees. So if they play 35 games together, count your stars and blessings, because that is an ideal scenario for the Sixers. They're just going to try to keep these two healthy enough and play them off nights to balance out the roster. So I could easily see a situation where they stagger the guys' minutes and they don't play nearly as much as the media expects them to. Yes, the Sixers will still be a top team in the East no matter what. So the load management is not going to necessarily impact the win-loss record. The issue becomes, when it comes playoff time, who's going to get the ball in crunch time? Because Paul George is increasingly inconsistent when it comes to playoff performances. And Embiid, you know, sometimes he's there, sometimes he's exhausted. You don't know what you're going to get other than it's going to be a storyline after the game of whether he showed up or he found an excuse as to why he couldn't show up in the late stage of the game. That's really what it comes down to. So, the Sixers, again, Philly fans can be happy today, but we'll see. I think there's a lot more questions to be answered about Philly in the next couple of weeks than anything you got with Paul George. I mean, Embiid and George have been talking for so long now, and I mean, they can even point to the NBA Finals pregame coverage as a tampering event if Steve Ballmer wants to go down that road. I mean, the Clippers are a disaster, but it's not like Paul George was a saint either. So just be careful what you wish for, because Oklahoma City thought they were so smart. The Clippers thought they were so smart. We have seen this story before with Paul George. I'm going to leave it at that. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to circle back with some of my thoughts on the upcoming Wimbledon tournament. And yeah, we'll be right back. Stick around.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
Folks, our personal data is being distributed constantly, every day, without us ever doing business with a company. Data brokers are collecting people's personal information to sell it to any number of companies. They are gathering data from public records, databases, and your online activities and use it without you even knowing it. These guys have your name, address, email. And if you ever wonder how spammers keep getting your phone number, the answer is data brokers. So what can you do to protect yourself from this nightmare? Incogni steps in to repeatedly scrub your name off of any database tied to these guys, as long as you're a customer. They go through the hassle of engaging with these companies so you do not have to keep going through an endless chain of unsubscribe requests that go nowhere. Go to incogni.com and use discount code FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual membership. That's incogni.com/FANTASYTHROWDOWN for 60% off an annual plan. Let Incogni help ensure your data privacy today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right. Wimbledon kicks off basically in 2 hours, essentially, from the time we're recording this. But there will still be time to bet on the futures for the tournament as a whole. But the big story is the fact that somehow, Novak Djokovic is going to try to play coming right off a torn meniscus surgery less than 2 weeks, well, 3 weeks ago, essentially, because he tore that and had to withdraw from the French Open semifinal match because, you know, playing with a torn meniscus is basically impossible because you have no stability in your knee. So he's going to give it a go. Djokovic is plus 300 to win Wimbledon. This is it is an insane number because the sports books are so afraid of Djokovic that they don't want to put him higher because they know the public's going to bet him. But for the public, realistically, the reason why this is such a ridiculous number, plus 300 implies Djokovic can win this tournament 25% of the time with a torn coming off of a torn meniscus. The issue you're going to run into is the fact that with the torn meniscus coming off of that, he could very easily, yes, it's surgically repaired, but it's not like tennis is a sport where you're not going to be making quick plants and transitions running around the court. And yes, you will slip on grass too in sneakers. Like, to me, this is just, you're betting on, you're literally betting on Djokovic being able to hold up for multiple matches without re-injuring his knee when the men play five sets. To me, this is one of the worst bets you could possibly make. Even if Djokovic pulls off an amazing feat, the implied probability is Djokovic is winning this tournament 25% of the time coming off of meniscus surgery. This is a ridiculous proposition. So I get the idea people want to just back their guy because they like betting on Djokovic, but this is a terrible number to try to be betting on. This was closer to 700. Yeah, I could see taking a stab on it. But if you're trying to throw legitimate money on Novak Djokovic, he could go down with another injury tweaking it because you have to remember, he wants to play in the Olympics as well. So he's got to manage this, play, try to play in the Olympics. You know he wants to play U.S. Open too. Like he's not gonna go insane if he feels something slightly off with his knee. There, he's gonna try to do what he can. He's not gonna. Obviously, he wants to play Wimbledon badly. It's one of his best performing tournaments. But the very idea that, you know, he's gonna go reckless abandon and risk everything else that he wants to play in this year. Did I mention you want to play in the Olympics in less than a month? Like, come on! There's only so much you're gonna subject yourself to. So to me, this is just one of those where the number doesn't make a ton of sense to realistically consider. Yes, can Djokovic win? Correct, but it's not the way to go, in my opinion. Elsewhere on the men's draw, and this is why I have to shake my head with the Djokovic number. It's just too low. You got Jannik Sinner as the overall number one favorite at plus 200. Carlos Alcaraz is at plus 240. Again, don't love either number. Zverev has plus 1600. I can actually start getting behind that, because now you're starting to get into a phase where Zverev is good enough to take out any of those guys I just mentioned. Plus 1600 is, you get some interesting value there. Daniil Medvedev at plus 3300, to me, that's the one that stood out to me the most, where it's just like, Medvedev has played in finals, he's played in semifinals. He can absolutely serve in volley. That's an interesting number, because I don't get why that number was so low. Truth be told, Stefanos Tsitsipas, plus 5,000. I mean, it's just some of these numbers is just like, okay, Rude plus 5,000, Holger Rune as well. You know, again, no Federer, no Nadal, Djokovic on a bad knee coming off of surgery. This tournament is open. Like, there are names I just listed off here that are all good values to be betting on the men's side. To me, if you're spending your money on Djokovic, I'd rather would just spread the money around with some of those other outright bets to win, because these guys are legitimate players, and the draws that they're getting, some of them will be facing each other, but realistically, the elephant in the room is, we are just assuming Djokovic is going to be able to push the limits of what he's capable of. Like, maybe Djokovic is healthy enough to play, but is he healthy enough to be Djokovic 100% healthy? Or is it going to be Djokovic 65-70%? And he doesn't have that fifth gear to kick into that he often does when he gets down. Like, that's a very real concern that, you know, to me, I think it's clear that you can focus on some of these other spots where I have no qualms about betting some of these other guys instead of the top three, because, you know, again, between Sinner, Alcaraz, and Djokovic, yeah, I can see all of them winning, but realistically, there's so many guys that this could be one of those surprise summers that everyone's shocked at, like, who ends up coming away with winning Wimbledon. But to me, this is a wide-open tournament this year. Given the injuries, I am not even remotely going to be surprised if we get a first-time winner at a major for this tournament. To me, there's just too many options that could end up being the one that, personally, I think, there are more than enough guys that could actually get there this year. So that's the way I'm leaning on the men's side. The women's side, more straightforward story. So, let's talk about it on the women's side. Iga Swiatek, plus 300. Marina Sabalenka, the worst bet in the entire tournament. Sabalenka is plus 375. Someone is going to bet Sabalenka and going to have to get bailed out that she withdraws from this tournament. Because Sabalenka is battling a shoulder injury pre-tournament that I think most people casually have not been paying attention to. She's the by far the worst bet in for Wimbledon. You're going to have to hope that she pulls out of the tournament. Because if you bet her with a bad shoulder, when she's telling you she has a bad shoulder and she and her team are doing everything possible not to withdraw, but that her shoulder is very much bothering her, and she's struggling with her serve, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do to help you. You just like throwing money away and burning it. Because if you can't serve in tennis, when it's the number one thing you have to be able to do to win like a tennis match, let alone a tournament, I don't know what else to say. She is by far the worst bet. She's telling you she can't serve. If she can't serve, she can't play. So if you bet her, and maybe she gets out of the first round, with a bad shoulder, you think that's going to hold up for an entire tournament when she has to play back to back? Like, if she, like, she's even saying she might, like, you're going to have to, if you've already bet Sabalenka, I'm sorry, but you have to pray that you get bailed out by her withdrawing before the first round starts in a couple of hours, because if she plays, you are locked in for whatever you bet her on with a bad shoulder. It's just not a good situation. So, I'll leave it at that. To me, this kind of comes down to on the women's side. If you're not betting Swiatek, I would say you're betting Coco Gauff or Naomi Osaka. Like, those are the three. Yes, there are other names on the women's side you could bet. But, unlike the other options on the men's side, where technically Alcaraz, you can make a case that on grass, he is just another guy. Or Sinner, he's got to be able to prove it to be more than just one of the guys. There's a clear difference between Swiatek, Sabalenka, Gauff, and Osaka when they are playing. Like, those are the clear four on the women's side. Sabalenka is hurt, so we can take her out. It just comes down to those three. Osaka finally looks like she's gotten her head straightened on and ready to play competitive tennis again. And she's been, her performances have shown it. Not a lock, but at least plus 1,600, you can take a stab. Swiatek, far and away the best option, in my opinion, at plus 300. It's like, if you don't want to bet it, so be it. But to me, she's the best tennis player in the world on the women's side by far. Gauff, plus 650. I think it's partially boosted by, you know, being the top American on both sides for the men and the women. And, you know, that's steaming the number lower. But, you know, realistically, it's probably more suited for plus 1,000. But in terms of people who can beat Swiatek, it's Gauff, because without Sabalenka in the mix, because I told you, Sabalenka's hurt. She told you she's hurt. I don't think she's joking around with that. It, like, you don't joke around with shoulder injuries. I think it's only Osaka and Gauff as the reliable options you can count on to beat Swiatek more than 20% of the time. Everyone else against Swiatek, I put as best 20%. Gauff and Osaka are the only ones I would say you're closer to 40% probability. Everybody else is at 20. Yes, Swiatek will lose from time to time, but you're surprised when she loses. So to me, the Swiatek number at plus 300, you take that. You take that, or if you want to bet somewhere else, you go to Gauff or you go to Osaka. But to me, that's the long and short of it on the women's side. I think for the first time in a long time, you have a much more diverse pool of players you can bet on the men's side than on the women's side for Wimbledon, which is a strange thing to say because usually you just bet on the big four, call it a day for Wimbledon and see which one of them won it. Now you're actually having to think about it versus the women's side. So anyway, that's all I got, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. We will catch up a little bit later in the week to kind of talk through the Euro some more, because I know some of you wanted to talk about England. Some of you wanted to talk about Team USA struggling in the Copa America has been a joke. I mean, even though it's been more entertaining than the Euro, but it doesn't mean that it hasn't been its own set of comedic acts at certain times from what I've seen of the soccer play in these tournaments. So more to come, but we'll talk some soccer eventually. Have a good one, folks, and be well. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.